Hey there, oh there, you're listening to Super Toolshed, the only podcast on the internet where one of the hosts doesn't mind the fact that the other host calls him a I'm Bennett the Sage, this is Mark the Engineer, and with us today, we have a very special guest, David, my title card artist. Say hello to the fine folks.
Yo.
Today's subject is one that is very near and dear to the American populace, summer blockbusters. But before we get to that, the pleasantries, fellas. How y'all been this past week?
Guest goes first. Called it.
I've been trying to work on the title cards, and also I've been putting together a comic that I'm hoping to send in by the 31st to actually get published.
Aspirations.
Well, it's not going to make any money. It's for a website called Enter Void. It's going to be an anthology book called The Black Stripe, which refers to the icon of it. If you ever go to the website, go to Enterboy.com, you'll see there's two white stripes and one black stripe. So
we'll put a link at the bottom of this podcast for you to check out.
Yeah, and it's basically going to support the website. It's a comic battles website. Once you go to it, you'll see what it's all about. It's awesome. And mine's going to be just like a little like 15, 20 page thing, and it's got to be done by the 31st. So I'm kind of pulling my hair right now.
And three anime abandons in a month is not helping your disposition, I'd imagine.
Well, it's not bad, but then it's I've changed my formatting, as any of you probably noticed, and it's actually made it a little bit easier. I kind of miss doing the center like box thing, but it got a little bit tricky to actually plan out how I wanted to make it look. So
with the introduction of that new logo, kind of freed up.
Yeah, it freed up a lot of space. I still have to center a little bit because edges get cut off, but I think starting next month, I'm going to plan for sizing it towards the pictures, the video first, and then resizing it for the banners, because the banners are actually wider.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Mark, how have you been?
Well, I've been just dandy now that I've listened to all that horseshit about, I'm like, oh no, I've got all this work to do. If I'm going to be honest, just from you describing that, it almost makes us seem fucking lazy, because all we do is write the shit.
My biggest problem is, besides having a bunch of shit on my plate and working a normal job, is the fact that I am very easily distracted. So, like, I start watching a video and the night's dead.
So, next time I have to do a title card, which reference Tenchi Muyo and love, we know who to blame and why. Just saying.
I'm sorry about that, man. That one, I got my days messed up so bad. For some reason, I kept thinking it was to do the 18th, not the 14th.
Oh.
I don't know why. I have no clue. I thought on the morning of the 14th, I was like, oh, I have time. I'll be all right. And then next thing I see the video up with the title card, I'm like, what the? Wait. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, way to go. Original Army of Darkness entry. Like, I slept too long. In this world where suddenly I'm the title card artist. Like, shit. My notoriety is dead.
I had a really good one planned too, half sketched out, and it just never happened. I'm sad now.
Yeah, you'd be sad. As far as between the last episode and this episode, which again, we are totally, absolutely out of really we're out of order on this, as my cat won't shut up in the background. Really, I've just been reading through all the comments, because we just got through Virgin Fleet. We've got Armitage the Third next, and that's going to be fun. Because nobody knows what we're going to do, and that's kind of half the fun. Everybody's like, is he going to trash Armitage the Third?
I can easily see it going both ways. I mean, there's a lot of really cool, interesting things in the movie, video, OVA, whatever. And then there's some things you look at and you go, what? So...
And that's half the fun. Half the fun is just, you know, leading everybody on. Like, are you going to trash that anime that I love so much? Because I've been secretly saying that Anime Abandon is all fun and games until the dial lands right on that anime you love so much. But
yeah, Doom Megapolis. Seriously. Seriously, guys. Seriously. Try again.
People are still pissed off about
Sonic.
Not you
guys. Those guys.
People are
super pissed off about Sonic.
People were pissed off about Sonic. People were pissed off about Ava. But the anime that I always thought, like, really? You're coming up to bat for this fucking show? Was Doom Megalopolis.
Yeah, I read the comments. And seriously, guys, you guys are bringing up issues of the book, the movie. Guys, let's plain it simple here. Animated Bandit is about the video that comes out in America in English that is all Bennett reviews. When he brings up points outside of that, it's to illustrate something else within the context of what we are given as English speakers.
Hold on, slow down, Tex. We're going to get to that.
I know. Oh, sorry.
We're going to get to that. So yeah, really nothing's happened between the last couple of episodes. It's just been the normal milling around. And as some people have noticed, there have been some design changes on the website. It's because the person who originally designed the website kind of designed it on a shoestring, and we need function, and two blades just sitting in the middle of a gigantic blog roll is not function. So we're going to the two column setup, a pardon our dust in the meantime while I try and think of shit to do. But yeah, that's pretty much been it. Bennett, what have you been doing since the last episode? Because again, it's just another one of those periods where we haven't been talking. Why are you leaving me?
Aw, Bennett, have you been leaving your boyfriend hanging again?
At this point, how often we talk, you might as well be my boyfriend.
Wow.
I mean, like I said, I mean, why have chocolate or vanilla when you can have both?
Wait. Am I getting included in this?
I don't like David anymore.
Hey, what I was just about to say could come out totally wrong. Never mind.
Yeah. Glad you stopped yourself.
You can shut up now. You're fucking up my show.
All of a sudden, it's your show now. Who's the motherfucker who keeps complaining about, oh, you're dragging me along. I hate this fucking show so much.
Look, it is a partnership, much like a marriage. Everything that's yours is mine. Everything that is mine is mine. Everything is mine.
Even the ball and chain. If he has a ball and chain, at least it's his ball and chain.
So all of a sudden now it's Marktopia.
Goddamn right.
All hail Mark. Mark is life.
Sing my... Mark.
See, you've got it down so quickly, too. I'm so proud of you, Benny. Anyway, what have you been fucking up to other than jerking?
I've been working on a script for a video in August. That's, I've been plugging away on that. And also trying to keep cool in my very, very hot room.
Yeah, this room sucks. Seriously, like, my room's better and my room sucks. The problem with my room is, well, I live near smokers and it's not always pleasant. Damn.
All right, look. We're going
to... I don't mind it, but, you know, Bennett's, you know...
Bennett's sensitive. Anyway, we're gonna preempt the normal format of the show because something's pissing me off.
Okay.
there's a particular flavor of comment that keeps coming through in every single episode without fail. Why does Bennett do the dub and not the sub? All right. Remember that sound, the sound of Mark being pissed? It's here again.
Yes, sir.
So here's what it boils down to. One of the number one things that I want to do, I really would love to do it, is I'd love it if we could just sit down and write an entire episode around Guyver Out of Control, because the actual Guyver series is way too fucking long, but it would be fun to do, and we're eventually going to have to figure out a way to do Guyver. But Guyver Out of Control would be easier. The problem with Guyver is that there is no English dub of Guyver. The reason why it is that Anime Abandon centers on the dub is dead air. Dead air is the enemy of broadcast. It is the enemy of everything in terms of entertainment. Here's what 10 seconds of dead air sounds like. David, shut up. Bennett, shut up for 10 seconds.
Are you getting the point now?
And that is the problem. The problem is that we need English dialogue. English dialogue helps produce jokes. More importantly, without English dialogue, every single clip transition would be dead fucking air. Yes, there's sound effects. Yes, there's Foley. Yes, there's acting. But you can't understand it. Of course we could write an entire fucking script around the subtitles. Why the fuck not? But it's not nearly as entertaining, because then it'll be Bennett going on about, you know, cock tease McGillicuddy, and then clip transitions into just like, that's not funny. We've already proven that Bennett can be funny all on his own without the help of the show and clip transitions, because Love Hina again proved it.
If you don't say so yourself, you're making me blush.
Well, but seriously, that's an episode where we could knock out every single clip transition and the shit would still be funny.
Well, not only that, but the way I see it, the way I've always seen it from the very beginning, is that there's a sense of nostalgia about this. I mean, Bennett has a cutoff point, like Nostalgia Critic used to have, of you know, a certain point in time. The idea is that these anime are anime that hits you at a time when you're probably either new to anime, or you could choose one version or the other when they had VHS or something like that. We usually listen to the English dub. Now, some of us, like myself, like the Japanese version, but that's not the version that most people are going to hear. And so what is being reviewed is what the populace mostly experiences.
And especially back in the day when the subtitle copy of the VHSs were more expensive.
And also shittier and less accurate.
So it became, a lot of people listen to the dub before the sub.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm working off of. When the show first started, Anime Abandoned first started, it was coming off the days of listening to bad dubs, and that was part of the charm to it.
Oh, no kidding. So some bad dubs actually are enjoyable because they're bad dubs.
So it was a conscious decision to, one, it makes writing jokes better. Mm-hmm. Two, it also trains people to look at the picture instead of at the text at the bottom. Because when I'm recapping clips, basically all I'm doing is rereading what the subtitles are saying and some shots. And also, when you're editing footage that's already been, you know, choreographed and it's been storyboarded and everything, and when you're editing from that, you are basically editing at a handicap. Like, say I have a clip where I'm talking about it and it cuts back to me. Well, then I have to factor in how much time does the bottom subtitle is on screen. Yeah, because if it's halfway between going to the next subtitle or maybe a split second, it jumps out at you. It's like a flash of yellow or a flash of white right before it cuts back to me, and it doesn't look good.
Well, not only that, but also you got to consider timing of subtitles within the subtitle itself. How long does it take to read? I mean, for me, I'm used to reading subtitles all the time, so it's pretty quick for me. But at the same time, you got to think about your entire audience. And not everyone's a fast reader. Not everyone's used to subtitles. And also, you got to consider the timing of the joke itself. You can't cut to a clip, stay there long enough for everybody to fucking read the damn thing, and then cut back, because then the joke's stale already.
So, these are the reasons, the raucous reason and the less raucous and the well put reasons as to why it is an Anime Abandoned is using English dubs. Also, fuck you, elitist otaku kids that are like, subs are so much superior. Subs are so much superior. Like, you know what? You can fucking eat my dick. A lot of people, most people, including you, elitist otaku asshole, don't speak Japanese.
I'm gonna go on the record as a guy who loves the Japanese dubs, who loves reading subtitles, who watches Kamen Rider all the time. I'm up current with Wizard guys, those of you who actually watch it with me. And I will say this, I still enjoy the dubs, even the shitty ones. Fuck you guys, we can enjoy both. Deal with it.
And in a world where you don't even have to choose anymore, I really don't see what the point is. If you want to watch an anime review show that's using subs instead of dubs, I dare you to find one. I don't think it exists.
Oh, wait,
if
wait,
it
wait,
does
wait.
Exist, it's not funny.
I dare you to find one that's watchable. There we go.
There you go. Because here's the thing. Comedy works in English because you speak English. Comedy doesn't work if it's half English and half Japanese, but really, it may as well just be half English and half fucking Braille.
Hey, that's why Samurai Pizza Cats was so successful. Any otaku worth their salt knows that series is not translated at all. They were handed the videos and said, yo, do this. You know why? Because the whole damn thing is full of fucking puns. And those don't translate well at work.
And neither is Crayon Shin-Chan either. The Funimation version of fucking Shin-Chan.
Oh, yeah, that too.
One gigantic writing exercise.
Yeah. And those were very good. They were fun. They were funny. Well, okay, maybe not Shin-Chan.
Shin-Chan had its ups.
Yeah.
You know, like, but not, you can't blanketly stated that Shin-Chan was an achievement in anime comics.
No, it wasn't. You're right. But still, Samurai Pizza Cats was damn fun. It may not have been the greatest, but it was damn fun. And they had to be inventive, and they had to come up with stuff. And a lot of the stuff, even today, I'm going back and going, wait, they said that? Oh, God. So, yeah, basically, elitist fucks, shut up.
Although they won't, and we know that they won't, but I want there to be an explicitly stated reason as to why it is that Anime Abandon is the way that it is.
But any fan who wants to help us out, so we don't have to worry about saying anything to these guys who can't pay attention, just point them to this episode. Just go, here's a link.
No, like, forget that. Just, I want proof that you can speak Japanese, or I want proof. Like, does anybody laugh at subtitles minus sight gags? That's my question. Like, if there's no sight gag on the screen, how is a subtitle funny when it's supposed to be funny?
It rarely is. It's only when you actually know the joke being told, like puns. Japanese love their puns.
And they love sight gags.
Oh, they do.
That's the thing. The nosebleed, the fucking teardrop, the sweat drop, the fucking blue background with the wavy spirit lines. They love the sight gag. They live and die on the sight gag. But the thing is that when you remove all sight gags from a show, like, we'll say, I don't know. I can't even think of one that's like super duper sight gag heavy without giving away this year's roster.
Maybe Excel Saga.
Excel Saga. All right.
Oh, geez. No kidding.
Like psych gags are the bread and butter of Excel Saga, but if you removed every single one of them from Excel Saga and you removed the English dub track, then is it funny? When it's just, you know, screeching, screaming Japanese dialogue, is that funny? When you actually have to sit there and read it?
You know, that's another thing. A lot of anime purists, Japanese track only people, they don't realize that a lot of these female characters are screechy as fuck. They're worse than some of the American ones.
That's another thing why I watch dubs over subs. If you're going to be annoying with your cadence of voice, I at least want to understand you.
I mean, I enjoy it myself, but then again, I'm the easily amused here, okay? But I recognize it for what it is. It still can be nails on chalkboard annoying to other people. Listen, I like Lisa Ortiz, okay? I like her in many of her roles. But I know that beyond playing Lena Inverse, most of her roles are nails on chalkboard.
Careful what you say here.
I don't care. She's a wonderful lady. She does great work, as far as I've heard so far. But some of them are, quite frankly, it's not her fault. She has a really particular voice. Like I said, Lena Inverse, she is the definitive Lena Inverse. I heard the other dub, no.
How dare you say that for Amy Rose?
Amy Rose is cool in other positions, but as Lena Inverse,
apparently,
she doesn't.
Apparently, we don't have a Cynthia Martinez fan in the house. How sad.
Yeah, but seriously, like, you know, you guys have got to really pay attention. You're trying to equate your enjoyment of something with a simple objective aspect. Something that is high-pitched, screechy, and annoying is still high-pitched, screechy, and annoying. It just so happens that your pain threshold is deeper than others. Mine is deeper than Bennett's. Bennett can only withstand it for so long.
I will not. It's not that I can't. It's just that I will not.
Bullshit, you can't. You fucking hate Tiny Tina.
Like, I hate fucking Tiny Tina, and I will not stand for it. But if gun pressed to my head and I have to stand for it, then yes, I will.
Guess what, buddy? Guns pressed to your head because the new DLC is entirely around Tiny Tina.
Okay, now I'm lost.
It's a Borderlands 2 thing.
Oh, God.
You best not be bullshitting me, Mark.
That's what I heard. What I heard is that the new DLC...
Can shoot that damn little trash can already? Fuck.
Like, I'm telling you that what I heard was that new DLC is centered around Tiny Tina playing, like, this weird D&D running man thing, and you're the game piece. Like, it's gonna be bad. it's gonna be amazingly good and bad at the same time. Good for me, because I love Tiny Tina. Bad for you, because you hate her voice, you hate the look of her, you hate every word that comes out of her mouth.
Ah, I do. really do.
But just to wrap this one up in a bow, I'm not 100% against subtitles. Like, I'm actually thoroughly against the dubbing of live action films. I kind of hate that.
Me too.
One of my top 10 movies that I absolutely fucking hate on this in this life on this planet is Sukiyaki Western Django, or Sukiyaki Western Django. Now we all know how it's pronounced. And obviously it's not the dubbing of Japanese actors, but it's actors dubbing themselves. Like, just parrot what this sounds like. It's English. Like, but I don't know how to speak English. It doesn't matter. Just say the line.
Go ahead.
Like, I hate that movie. And although, like, old Godzilla movies I can deal with for some reason. I don't really know why that is. I guess because that's just the way that I grew up on them. Yeah.
I think there's a cheesy charm to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't take themselves seriously, and they relish in it.
But if you took, like, Kamen Rider or Battle Royale or Tokyo Gore Police or just any, like, or Machine Girl and just gave it an English dub track, that shit just annoys the crap out of me. So I'll watch live-action subtitled films any day of the week. But anime, like, it's fucking cartoons!
They're lip flaps. They're very basic lip flaps. They're not hard to match.
What about the big tit zombie?
I what?
Big Tit Zombie?
I what?
It's a Japanese film, Big Tit Zombie.
Why am I not surprised? I'm just more like, wait, I've never heard of this before, but I'm not surprised it exists.
ever heard of Oni Chambra?
Yeah, yes. Bikini Zombie Slayers.
Oh, jeez.
It's sort of like, is it part of the same series? I don't know, or maybe it's just like it or that same.
I don't know, but it made a damn good game. I don't care what anybody says, man. The first Oni Chambara game was actually really playable and fucking fun.
I guess the Western audience answered back with, "Well, I don't know. Would you consider Lollipop Chainsaw a Western game, even though it was Japanese developed?
Even though it was like Suda 51 all over that game." I would say that thematically speaking, giving Buffy a chainsaw is really a Western thing.
Yeah.
Like that really was just like, oh yeah, it's James Gunn in Suda 51. It's like, no, this is just James Gunn in Suda 51 aping Buffy.
Pretty much.
And it's not that it didn't work. It fucking did. It was, you know, all the fun that I got out of No More Heroes, and it was really fucking funny. And that's what I'm looking for in those type of games from those directors now, is that, like, I want these games to be funny. I want the Deadpool game to be funny, even though I know it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
The
trailer for that
kind of. I could never really get behind Suda 51 games because they almost always controlled like ass.
Dude, fucking No More Heroes is the truth, man. You don't know what you're missing.
I went for so long without playing a No More Heroes game based on the basis, like, it goes against my principle of playing on a Wii. Like, I feel
Yeah, but you're you're fucking PlayStation boy. Just get No More Heroes Paradise.
Yeah, but then it was sort of like, I hate the fucking wand. I hate that fucking wand, and you can't play Paradise without the PS Move.
Yeah, which in that case, you might as well get a Wii, because at least you don't have the freaking, you know, wand blinking in your screen.
Yeah, that shit sucks, but... Still, what was the point? What were we talking about?
we kind of finished up with one point and then just kind of shunted
yeah,
off.
Yeah, we lost the plot and got shunted into Suda 51. I have no idea why.
I don't want to be shunted into Suda 51.
No, we were talking about Big Tit Zombie.
Oh, yeah, fucking Oni Chambara. Is it like, well, honestly, I know Oni Chambara didn't sell in massive numbers here, yet Lollipop Chainsaw did. And you do kind of wonder why. It's like, they're really the same game.
Maybe
I guess
I think Oni Chambara was just too crass about it, maybe?
And do you ask yourself that question? Like, what's too crass?
Sometimes I do. Like, for some reason, like... I can't play Leisure Suit Larry Box Office Bus because it is too crass. It is tasteless, and it's not funny. And besides all the host of other problems it has, one of the biggest problems with the game is that it's not funny. It's just fucking crass, and it's fucking disgusting. No. It makes me feel like a bad person for playing it.
No new Leisure Suit Larry game has been good since it's been like, oh, it's Larry's nephew. None of them have been fucking good. And really, it's that Leisure Suit Larry was just this interactive fap fuel once upon a time, but now it's like, we got the internet. So,
yeah. The internet really changed a lot of that, didn't it?
I mean, sure, a lot of us want to jerk off to Hello Nurse, but the fact is that I don't need a game to give me something that looks like Hello Nurse when, quite honestly, somebody has already animated Hello Nurse fucking. That's it.
Chances Zone did.
I don't think he has.
Oh, not yet. Aw, we should put that on a request list or something. Make all your dreams come true, little children.
Like, hey, were you born in the 90s? We got something for you.
Hello, Nurse.
Bing.
Yeah. Just her and Jessica Rabbit.
You take care of most of the internet on that one.
Yeah, that's a pretty wide-reaching thing. But yeah, I guess you can ask yourself, is it too crass? Leisure Suit Larry, at this point, does kind of feel too crass. It's tits for its own sake. And Onichimbara was, I mean, it's in the freaking name, Bikini Zombie Slayers. But Lollipop Chainsaw was more tongue-in-cheek, I guess, because it was like, oh, look, it's a cheerleader. Everybody loves looking up cheerleader skirts. It's even in the achievements.
I think it's a matter of framing and what else you put with it, because if it's just tits and ass, it's kind of like, eh. And especially when it's done without any sort of sense of class or pacing, they just shove it in your face and go, look, boobs! It's like, yeah, they're boobs. Look, nipples! Yeah, they're nipples.
Actually, that's very rare, the nipples in games.
No, true, true. But remember when they had the BMX XX?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, BMX Triple X? Yeah.
Yeah, that game bombed. And the reason was that they sold it purely on the boobs. And it's like, no, we are fine with how, you know, games like, you know, Dead or Alive do it, you know. Yeah, it's very sexist. Yeah, it's very wrong, but at least there's some context. At least there's something more to it than just boobs. You go, oh, it's a fighting game. And there are other characters besides the booby girls. And there's other outfits to wear.
Except for Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball. That's
Yeah, no, that's just wholesale porn.
But that one caters more towards the type of people who would probably be playing a lot of dating sims in Japan.
I had no comment. All I'll say is I didn't have an Xbox growing up, so...
Neither did I, actually, although I wasn't that young when the Xbox came out.
Oh, you sad fuckers. All right, so back to the regular format of the show. Summer blockbusters. Lots of trailers came out in in between the last episode of Super Tool Shed and this episode, and that would include World's End, a new Pacific Rim trailer came out today, a new Man of Steel trailer, and we'll start with Pacific Rim because chicks dig giant robots.
Yeah, but don't forget the new Riddick movie.
I still need to see the trailer for that one.
I already have forgotten it. Are you serious? And I love Riddick. It's like, God.
Yeah, Pitch Black is one of my favorite sci-fi movies.
I think the problem is that, you know, Vin Diesel is awesome. Riddick is awesome. But the problem is that Vin Diesel doing more Riddick movies just doesn't work because it just kind of like, the first movie worked. The character's an anti-hero. That means he needs a group around him to kind of, you know, offset the lack of morality. In the what was the second movie?
Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah, Chronicles of Riddick. In that movie, he was the good guy. They were trying to play him off as a bad guy, as an anti-hero, but it didn't work. He had too much morality. It did not work. Now, for the record, for those of you who might hate on me for saying that, I do enjoy the movie. I did like it. But again, remember, I am the easily amused. I accept that I like it because I enjoyed it, not because it was good.
And you weren't impressed by Dame Judi Dench's performance?
No.
Or non-performance, as it were?
It was the idea of the character, because, okay, remember early, I mentioned I write comics. I'm working on comics. I love thinking about stories and working things out. So when I watch a character like hers, I start thinking about the backstory, about potential, you know, threads that go into the future, stuff like that. The problem is that my enjoyment of her character is partly from my own thought process. Her on her own was flat as a fucking board. So, perspective, people.
Perspective. And looking at the trailer, I think that they said, yeah, Chronicles of Riddick was basically a vanity project for fucking Vin Diesel. So they said, why don't we just go back to Pitch Black again?
Which is why it is that I didn't list it in the list. I was like, fuck it, man. It's just a retread of Pitch Black. Who the fuck cares? I'm going to go watch it. It's going to make money. They're probably not going to make another one. They'll probably make another fucking animated film to make five whole Riddick films. But fuck it. I don't care about Riddick. Let's talk about Pacific Rim.
Oh, really?
Okay, Pacific Rim. I find it amusing that there's sort of references to robot jocks in that. There is.
I know there is. I mean, this is Guillermo del Toro.
Really?
Yeah.
I okay, for the record, I'm bad with names and I don't really follow that many actors or directors. So if I miss something that connects two things, that's probably why, dear listeners. That's probably why.
He is horrible with names.
Well, don't worry. We're just going to string you up for it and make you feel like a terrible person.
Hooray!
Or it could be that you're on the show where we get fucking names and places and things wrong every single fucking episode.
Oh, that's good.
So now you're just basically debuffing it. You know, it was just like he's, somebody, you hear the latest fucking Super Tool shit that got another name wrong. Oh, yeah, that's David's fault.
That's the new excuse. Great. I see it now. I'm going.
okay.
So, yeah, but I, from what I saw, I haven't seen the new trailer, but I saw the other trailers. And I feel like it has the potential. Now, again, I haven't seen the new trailer, but I feel like it has the potential to be enjoyable, but I do not get the feeling that it's going to be a great classic.
I feel like this is a movie that's long been overdue.
Really?
Yeah. For the longest time, I've always wanted a giant robot movie.
Agreed.
I've always wanted a big giant robot movie, and I read Mark's tweet the tweet he retweeted about how Pacific Rim trailers just remind him of other big, gigantic robot films that should have been made.
Oh.
Right now, at least.
Well, then that fills me with hope. Maybe I should watch this new trailer. Something to do when I get home. Yay.
But look at the Pacific Rim. The one thing that I'm most excited about, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this isn't based off any other like previously established series, right? This is just from pure imagination?
Yeah, this is just Guillermo del Toro's massive rage boner for giant robots and Godzilla.
Hey, if he does it right, that's awesome. I applaud him for it. If he does it wrong, then...
I mean, we have a summer blockbuster not based off of a book, not based off of a comic, not based off of any other entity other than just pure imagination. And that's... I have to applaud it for that. In today's Hollywood age, that's not only a rarity, that is a resource.
True. See, the trailer looks good, and I'm sure the movie's going to be good because Del Toro doesn't really make bad movies. He most certainly makes movies that are always aesthetically pleasing. But here's the thing. One giant robot, two pilots. I come from a world where it's one giant robot, one pilot, and that one pilot is usually some fucked up kid. So I just look at this trailer and I'm like, two pilots? Fucking pussies. You need somebody to help you out. You need somebody to get your back in the cockpit, huh? Fucking Roger Smith had that shit done in a minute. He'd kill them all.
What about the Megazord?
I was actually going to mention that, but that's one thing that always bugged me about Power Rangers and about Super Sentai too. In connection, all
right, first off,
is the fact that they got this combining robot and
what the
they
fuck
have
do the other pilots do?
How they work together?
What do the pilots do? Seriously,
I know.
Like the Red Ranger always sits smack in the middle, and he's like, "Come on, guys, let's go!" And the other Rangers are like, "Yeah, let's do it." And but then it's
didn't
like,
you
"What
watch
do
the
you
Power
all
Rangers
do?
Movie? Didn't you watch the Power Rangers movie? The Yellow Ranger controls the crotch kicking button."
dot. Okay.
They always have one massive button sitting right in front of them. Like, okay, crotch kick.
You know,
Did it.
Go guy. No, not go guy.
Dan.
Oh, what was it? Oh, Dan Guard. No. Damn, I can't remember the name. It's okay. It's an anime where it's basically office people controlling the robot.
Office people.
Office people, they're part of a security company, and Dangard I think it is, or Dangard?
Gadgard.
No, not Gadgard. That's robots that had little magical square things that transform them.
How many
them
fucking
and
anime
gets them
with the last name Guard are there?
Too many.
But no, I'm sure somebody in the comments will correct me. Will say what it is. Somebody out there knows what the one I'm talking about. In it. The three people, you get the feeling of each of their... The main guy's Akagi.
Akagi?
Akagi. The main pilot guy is Akagi. So you guys who are listening to this, you'll know what I'm talking about. You get a feeling for who does what. Akagi does the piloting. The middle guy, he you know, controls the power levels. The girl does something. But you get more of a feeling. In Power Rangers, you don't get any feeling. They're all sitting there, hi-yahing. And worse, even nowadays, now it's worse. I am watching right now the Kyoryuger in Japan. It's the latest one. More dinosaurs. The third one that they've done. Yay, dinos. And they all stand on like little dancing stages. I'm not even going to go into that. Don't even ask. There's a big samba theme going on. And they're all three there. All five of them are there. Even though the main robot is only formed with three of them. It makes no fucking sense. So, you know what? Two guys, I can get behind that. You know what? You have one guy be the main pilot. You have the other guy help, you know, differentiate all the energy information. Scan, checking for damage, you know, whatever. You know, the backup guy. That I can get behind. That's fine. You know, so I'm okay with the two guys, but I do agree that is kind of pussy for an awesome giant robot.
Yeah, they seriously make it out like, okay, so their brains get connected and it takes the brain power of two people to control one giant robot and...
Okay, take it back. That's bullshit.
Yeah, like that's the whole fucking thing. It's like, oh yeah, like their brains are fucking Vulcan mind melded and they share memories and shit. And like, first off, I don't need to share memories with the dude I'm enlisted with. That shit just doesn't fly because then he knows that I jerked it in the bunk last night.
But then you knew that he knew about it and actually watched you.
Yeah. Okay. And see, then nobody wants to fight ever. You just both want to die. So you just wait for the kaiju to come up and wreck your shit.
You go into the robot for the first time. You link minds. You suddenly have all these visions of very, very wrong things. You find out the guy actually likes your ass. He finds out that you don't like him, and you got this embarrassing, like, momentary, like, half boner going on because you're experiencing what he's experiencing, so you're feeling it. So you're feeling that boner you have for your own ass. You guys get out, and you're like, we are never speaking of this again.
Yeah, like, I don't want to get reassigned, like, right now.
Can I get the one guy model, please? I know it's going to be half the size, but fuck this.
Seriously, like, I know they're going to have some stupid thing where it's like, oh no, there's a buffer between their minds to keep all the most personal of privates, because, God, who knows, we might put a homicidal maniac in one of these fucking things. But,
you know, watch this, that's exactly what they're going to say.
They are. They're going to have just some, what other fucking movie did that, where they just had, like, this stupid little buffering chip, where it's like, oh no, this is what keeps all the really bad memories out.
Isn't that basically Doc Ock's chip of the Spider-Man 2?
Oh God, I see something.
Yeah, the thing that keeps the will of the AI from controlling him and influencing him and shit. That's all they're gonna have in there. But still, yeah, like I find it to be kind of like, okay, so was it a visual reason why it is? Is it like one person pilots the left half and one person pilots the right, that they're acting at the left and right half of the brain, even though that they now have two complete brains? So you're saying that one brain needs to focus on one half of the robot, even though in the trailer you're showing that they're moving in synchronous. So why does it have to be two pilots?
Not only that, but a person with a half a brain has been shown to control their entire body, no problem. The brain actually compensates. So the amount of brain matter doesn't actually matter as much as you think.
Yeah, so... I'll be interested to hear their bullshit MacGuffin reason.
Well, maybe they'll say the reason why we have dual core processors.
No. I feel like slapping you, dude.
Yeah,
could you see the face he has on right now?
Seriously. Hit him. Hit him for me right now. Oh my God.
Yeah, take it, bitch.
But other than that, you know, Pacific Rim looks good. It's gonna be a stupid action movie, which I love stupid action movies.
No, fair enough, fair enough. You know, you're right about that. That's what I'm expecting from the movie. I'm not expecting it to be a classic. I'm not expecting it to make big box office. All I'm expecting it is for me to go in, sit down, and feel like I've spent some money that was worthwhile. And it doesn't take that much. There's only ever been one movie that I ever wanted to walk out of.
Was it Max Payne?
No, it was Shrek 3.
Really?
I didn't like that one at all. Seriously, guys, Shrek 1 and 2, that's all you need. And Shrek 2, you don't even really need that much, even though it is actually pretty inventive for what it was. Seriously, the rest of the Shrek shit, just drop it.
I've only ever fallen asleep on two movies in the theater, and that was Max Payne and the fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie. That was it.
Whose fault was that for the fourth one? Jeez.
No kidding. Why did we need to go back past 2-1 with that? That the one was awesome. We should have just stopped. Fuck. Because, I know. Big money. Because
franchises print money, and that's what Disney needs. The printing of money. That's why it is that they bought Star Wars, because Star Wars is the big money printer.
Yeah. Aside here, I have to find it amazing that you know, people are freaking out over, you know, Disney's handling of the main, you know, Star Wars franchise. It's going to be good. It's going to be fine. It may not be great, but it's going to be fine. It's funny, though, that their video game side just needs to get somebody. Somebody needs to go in there and just, like, hit somebody. Seriously, close your doors for LucasArts and then give it to EA? Brilliant. Fuckers. Anyways, back to the point. So, Pacific Rim. Anything more to add on Pacific Rim?
Other than it's about damn time we had a giant robot film.
Hoorah!
Yeah, that movie needs to serve one purpose for me, and that's to get somebody to say, so what's this big O thing?
You know, as long as they fix a correction, one thing that's always pissed me off about that dub, one small thing. Guys, simple fucking word. Your entire cast couldn't figure it out. Deus. Not Deus. Deus. They're gods. Not that hard to figure out, you assholes.
Yeah, who's pissed off about the nomenclature now, Bennett?
David. David's pissed off about the nomenclature. Actually, he's not really pissed off about the nomenclature because he's not arguing with the fact that they're called Deus. He's just arguing the fact that they're mispronouncing it.
Yeah, I get the theme that they're going for. And Deus almost works because it is two and you got the guy and the robot. You can work that in, but the problem is that's not what they're saying. Now, I haven't watched enough of the show to be angry or happy about what they're trying to say with the Deus thing, but get the fucking word right at least. Your entire cast got it wrong. Nobody speak up? Stephen Blum, dude.
So you're saying that
you're the main character. You're a smart guy. Say something.
So you're saying that every time Datsun skinned out the Mega Deuce, you died a little inside?
No, I laughed a little inside because I was thinking
you
were thinking
no, because you know what? Dominus of Mega Deus just doesn't sound as good.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. But when someone says, I am the Dominus of Mega Deus, that shit's awesome.
Okay, that one line I'll give you. That does sound awesome. But for the whole show, it's part of what turned me off of it. I started watching it. I heard Deus, and I'm like, no. And I walked away. So, yeah.
So we have now established that anytime someone says Deus Ex Machina, David just punches them in the face.
I'll Deus Machina your face!
I will double Deus Ex Machina your fucking chin.
No kidding.
Oh my god.
So, next trailer up on the chopping block?
Man of Steel, still.
Man of Steel? I actually have positive to say about that. Now, I don't know if there's a super new one, but I saw one of the last ones I saw showed a lot about the enemy and whatnot. And you know what? That trailer gave me hope.
Just so we're clear, anything that you say right now, I'm just going to tune you out.
Okay. The first thing we got for Man of Steel was his suit. And we were all like, what the fuck? Seriously, A, overly done. We don't need that much detail in Superman's suit. We do not. Maybe on a special suit, fine. But his main suit? No, come on, guys. Relax. I know you're big budget movies, but even the guys who aren't that big of a fan look at that suit and go, dude, seriously, too much. Even more so than the Superman Returns or whatever bullshit you guys had a few years ago. Then we got the first trailer. I was sitting in the theater for
Batman, probably.
Thank you. Yeah, Batman and me and my buddy were sitting there and we're watching this, and I knew it was the Superman trailer. Why? Because there's no Aquaman trailer. There's no Aquaman movie. That's what we felt. We saw everything. We looked at each other. This is the Superman trailer, right? They didn't like switch it for Aquaman, right? Because there's so many shots of like, what was that, Maine or Alaska or something? Like, come on, guys. Seriously, this is Superman. Then all of a sudden at the end, we get Superman flying up. And it was so dramatic and overwrought. It's like, guys, you're not writing Aquaman. You're not writing Batman. Now, here's the thing, though. With the more recent trailers, you got a little bit more of a sense of him actually doing something. The biggest problem with a lot of the movies is he doesn't do anything. He's just this big god-type guy that, what? I mean, there's barely a fight in Superman 4. The biggest threat he faced was in Superman 2, you know, when he faced other Kryptonians. Now, I will say this. They should have used something else besides other Kryptonians, because if I'm reading correctly, that's what these characters are.
Yeah, but, they're General Zod, they're other Kryptonians.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But at least, oh no! So they're using General Zod in this?
Oh yeah, there is General Zod.
Okay, no, that's awesome then. I thought they were coming up with a whole new cast. No. I was gonna call bullshit on that.
No, it's no, General Zod.
Okay, if it's General Zod reboot sort of thing, then you know what? This is the best move they can make. Now, does that mean this movie's gonna be good? I have no clue. I hope it is. I'm not saying that it looks better. I'm just saying I have more hope for it. Because of these elements, there's something for Superman to do. There's two things you can focus with Superman. Number one, him fighting big, awesome bads that are bigger than Batman could ever face without a week of planning. Number two, focus on his humanity. Now we can see that from previous movies, movie makers are shit at showing that aspect. So go with number one. And that's what they're doing. So I have hope that it could be a good movie. Is it going to be? I have no fucking clue.
I will say that Man of Steel looks like it's the main conflict, is, besides being General Zod, is Superman trying to gain the world's trust.
Which could be interesting, considering who he is and the type of world we live in today. So that could be interesting. Could be.
Interesting.
Yo, guys who are making that movie, I don't care what your names are. I'll learn them if you do good.
Zack Snyder.
I don't fucking care. I will learn them if you do good. If you do shit... And I don't fucking care. You can die in a hole. This Superman is the main hero. The biggest character that we all look at. Everybody across the world knows this guy. Make a damn good movie for him for once. We don't want to keep having to look back to the 70s and 80s for a good movie of his. Seriously.
Man, you are just full of the nerd rage. Sorry. Well, I've already made my position clear. I don't want to believe a man can cry. I don't want to believe a man can sigh. I want to believe a man can fly. That's it. End of Man of Steel. Next!
Fair enough.
So, God, there was fucking Pacific Rim. World's
End, man.
World's End. Oh, wow.
Oh, trailer for World's End looks so funny.
I love World's End, the World's End trailer, because it doesn't make clear what the fuck is going on. It starts off like, hey, why don't we make the pub run? Which is basically the plot to fucking Shaun of the Dead again.
So?
So, like, okay, first off, so it's like I was expecting that. Then all of a sudden, shit just kind of went down, and you're not sure what went down. You just know it's bad.
It's aliens! It's totally aliens! First movie, zombies. Second movie is a cult. Third movie is aliens.
I just don't understand that kind of progression. Zombies, then a small-town cult. And then fucking aliens.
Well, it's because they don't have anything to do with each other. There is seriously no... They've only proven one thing. The only thing that connects the Three Flavors Cornello trilogy at this point is the fence gag. That's it.
Yeah. So I thought the only thing connecting that was that one character will eat a Cornetto ice cream.
Yeah, and that. So it's the Cornetto ice cream, which I think is going to be, what, strawberry in this one?
Yeah, because fucking Hot Fuzz was mint.
So and,
I didn't notice that gag. Seriously, they have a Cornetto gag?
Yeah.
It's just like all throughout the Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, one character will eat like a Cornetto ice cream.
Huh. Yeah. So, but other than the ice cream, the only thing connecting these three movies is the fence gag. So first fence gag, shit goes wrong. Second fence gag, fucking Simon Pegg's amazing at hopping fences. Third fence gag, they throw it right in the trailer. They're like, fuck it, we don't need to hide it. Bang! Oh, fence falls down. Awesome!
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is I never thought I'd be laughing at a fucking pratfall gag involving a fence.
I think part of it is the history and knowing what's going on.
It is. It really is, because I've shown that trailer to a couple of people, and they're like, why is that so funny? I'm like, didn't you see Shaun? Like, yeah, but I don't remember the... You don't remember the fence? Like, no, I don't remember the fence. And they made such a big deal about it in Hot Fuzz because there was just kind of this rolling thunder about it, like, oh god, he's gonna fall over the fence, and he doesn't, and he like does the flip over the fence.
I remember that.
and then fucking Nick Frost comes in, fail.
So that really, I don't know, the fence gag works for me, but I guess it really is, David, you're right, it's the history of the gag itself. It's almost like, you know, any other reference that you see in any other movie, like when you freak out at Pacific Rim because you're like, holy shit, that's Ellen McClain doing the voice of the computer, yay. If you play Portal, you know who that is, and then you go, holy shit, GLaDOS is in a huge major motion picture! So, the fence gag is the same thing, and honestly, like, when they did Hot Fuzz, they made it very apparent that the point of doing a movie about cops was the fact that the history of British film is not about cops, it's about, you know, it's about crims. It's always about, you know, the gangsters and how they always get over on the cops and how, you know, cops are just sort of a joke. Where, you know, like you can take a constable's helmet. Like if you're a pregnant woman, you can take a constable's helmet and wee in it if you fall short of the bathroom. Totally true. So they wanted to make a movie that was kind of like an American, you know, buddy cop movie, and they succeeded at that fantastically. And now they're like really at a world's end. What they're doing is they're taking this bullshit bro-tastic type movie, which we keep seeing in The Hangover, and all movies of its ilk featuring the same fucking comedians in every goddamn one of them.
Hangover Part 3.
Not even just The Hangover, just like all these fucking bro movies where it's like all of a sudden comedians are fucking cool, but it's the same clique of comedians over and over again. And yeah, you just see like fucking Ed Helms and one of the Corddry brothers, if not both of them.
And that reminds me of we came out of Iron Man 3, me and my friend and my other friend Cheryl, we walked over and we saw this, you know, thing for the internship.
Oh God.
And I'm looking at this going, okay, given the two actors here, I can figure one of two very important things. One, this is going to be amazingly funny and actually classic, or more than likely, it's going to be total tripe and should not be watched by anybody.
Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson. Who would ever thought that Vince Vaughn would fall under such hard times? Remember back in like the mid-2000s when he was like hot shit?
I remember when Owen Wilson was hot up-and-comer, and I liked some of his movies, and they weren't necessarily good movies, but he was a good actor in it.
And then fucking Drillbit Taylor happened, and then...
But now it's the Tina Fey generation. It's the fucking Judd Apatow Federation of... it's the Apatow Federation of fucking comedians and movies. Like, before, we used to be lucky if we could get, like, a couple of SNL people getting together and turning one long bit into one long fucking movie or into a, you know, completely disenfranchised movie like Ghostbusters, where that just kind of came out of nowhere. But now... like, bros rule the fucking world, and bros say that Apatow is funny. I'm like, all right. And
it's kind of weird. It's like all the stuff we love and enjoy is finally coming up on the big screen, but it's getting so violently diluted or homogenized or whatever by the big companies that it just kind of becomes samey and kind of wasted. And it's like, guys... I mean, yeah, we know you're going for the big money, but can't you, like, do a little bit more integrity somewhere? Well,
see, the viewing audience doesn't care because the viewing audience isn't us. It's the same. It's the same problem with comics. Like, everybody complains about the new 52. It's like, I'm sorry, 30-year-old guy. Comics aren't for you. That's, like, Young Justice wasn't meant for you. It was meant for your little brother.
Actually, the funny thing about that, oh God, the new 52, is that it was aimed at the very same people they've been aiming at the entire time, the 15 to 25 year olds. Well, more like 18 to 25 year olds. They've always aimed at, they said, oh, we're going to aim it at a wider variety of audience, more, you know, different, you know, demographics. Bullshit.
Yeah, no, you make one Green Lantern gay. That's widening the demographic, all right. Not even an actual core member.
It was even worse than that. They didn't even use... They lost track of what the word iconic means. Look, the first original, absolutely original Green Lantern is historical. He's important. But he's not fucking iconic. You can argue either Hal Jordan or
Alan Scott?
No.
No, because Alan Scott.
Kyle Rayner. Kyle
Rayner.
Or even one of those two. You can argue them as iconic, okay?
John Stewart.
Thank you. Or John Stewart. One of those three can be argued to be iconic.
Not Guy Gardner, though.
No. He's anti-hero level. He's not quite iconic. One of these three Green Lanterns would have been perfect, okay? Especially, I think Kyle Rayner would have been really good for it. You know, at least from my perspective, I didn't read that much.
If Rayner had trumped up gay, it would have explained a whole fucking lot.
fair enough, but that's my point.
It's like, my girlfriend may be in the fridge, but I'm still in the closet!
But here's the thing. Not only did they make the dude gay, the original Green Lantern, they made it pointless. Why? They killed the boyfriend right off the bat. Look, you can't do that.
You can't be gay and happy in the DC universe.
Apparently not. Dear God, that's bad.
What are you saying? A gay man that's gay?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. And on that note, by the way, some of you guys may remember that recently, like in the last 6 months, 9 months, X-Men had that big old, marriage thing with North Star and somebody else. You know, the whole gay
with
thing.
Nobody and who gives a shit.
Well, here's the thing. Who cares about that part? Everybody thanked Stan Lee. Nobody thanked any of the writers, the artists, or anybody on that book. Guys, information dump here. Number one, Stan Lee is overrated. He's a good guy, great idea guy, very charismatic, but he's over fucking rated. Number two, and more important, he has not done anything directly for Marvel Comics in 15 years. I looked it up. Wow. Seriously. I see it all over Tumblr when that issue came out. Everyone's thanking Stan Lee. Stan Lee's so great. Stan Lee's so wonderful. Look at how he's progressive he is. No, he's not fucking progressive. He may be progressive himself, but he, in Marvel Comics, the company, is not a progressive because the people on the fucking book were progressive. Somebody, anybody, who, if you're still reading that comic, if you're interested, go back, find out what the names were, thank them.
I just think that nobody wants to thank Joe Quesada for letting that slip through the cracks.
Doesn't Sorry, matter. Yeah, seriously, dude, you are just filled with the nerd rage. Holy shit.
Well, he's filled with the nerd rage when it comes to comics, pretty
well,
much.
Well, so welcome to Nerd Home, because fandom holds us hostage.
Fair enough.
Jesus Christ.
He's a comic artist. He gets passionate about his medium.
Oh, man. It's like, now I just know how to set the dude off. Just starts whipping out names like Todd McFarlane.
Fuck him. He's just immediate. He's just a figurine mogul. That's all he is. All
right. Jim Lee.
Jim Lee, overrated, not bad. Needs to learn how to do character designs again. He designed the X-Men's look back in the 90s, and that was actually not bad. Then he designed the New 52. Dude, get a hint. Think. Look at other possibilities, other designs. And don't use collars on everybody, including a nonsense choker for Wonder Woman. Seriously, dude. You know the problem with Wonder Woman's costume? She doesn't have any straps for her uniform. Seriously, she's a fucking Amazon. She should look like it. I don't care pants or no pants. That's fine. But her metal brassiere, that's on top of her boobs, not, supporting them.
See? Guess what? I brought this up during Injustice. I totally brought that up during Injustice, that Wonder Woman looks like she's wearing a fucking corset.
Yeah, if there's connectivity, if there's something on top, that would work. Her redesign that looked all 90s, at least it had that. Take off the jacket, you'll notice there's straps. What do you know? Sensibility. These character designs need to be done from a point of view of who these characters are. And Wonder Woman needs a redesign. I don't fucking care to anybody who says, oh, her classic design. You know the guy who made it? He had two wives. He had no real full understanding of women. Even though he had two wives, he had a lot of BDS, a lot of tying up shit. I mean, it's like her weapon's a lasso. What does that have to do with the Amazons or the Greek mythology? Better tool would be a shield, a mirror shield. Think about that. It would really work really well. Show them their image on it, and they see their truth. I mean, boom.
It's seriously like we managed to get Lewis on our show.
I love how we started with Jim Lee and wound up with Wonder Woman needs a redesign, and then the history of Wonder Woman, and then
all of this is a bouncing ball from World's End. Somehow we went from you got red on you to Wonder Woman's outfit is completely impractical.
I'm sorry.
Wowzers.
I wanted to get this further. Let's see. What's another little stick we could poke the tiger with here?
No. No.
And Cassandra Cain.
Oh. Shut up. Just shut your whore mouth. Look.
I just offered that one.
Look, just no. We're not going down that road, because if we need to go down the road of every single person that got killed unjustly in the DC universe.
They weren't even killed, they're just written out.
Killed.
I mean, then we got to talk about
Wally. We got to talk about Ted.
Or how about Damian? They recently killed off, you know, the actual blood son of Batman.
Look, we're not going there. We're not going there. Bennett, quick. Fucking anything. Anything else.
Time for comments. From Shoraf Asnasalini, I'm not quite sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, on the my site. Oh man, I was excited as hell when I saw that Sage was going to review this. It's one of the top five or even two stupidest anime premises I've ever seen. Another being Jayo, an anime where some disease in fish is going to kill everyone or something. One, they could have gone with fornication as against Christianity or Islam, not likely as it's Japan, and there are virtually no Christians there, as I told some moron who thought that the girl who got raped in Imabuku wa didn't get an abortion to not offend the Christians. Yeah, a country that banned Christianity on pain of death, had people trample on Christian images and hung a priest upside down over a literal hole filled with poo, would certainly care about how Christians feel about anything, and of course every Christian is anti-abortion and Nancy Pelosi, etc., are myths made up to scare children into going to bed early. I like how he goes off on this tear on Christianity, yet left Islam just dangling there in the wind.
Okay. He took the high road.
Two, they could have gone with they don't want to catch STDs, and STDs are constantly on the rise. Well, that's looking at it from a logical point of view. As we established in this review of Virgin Fleet, logic is the enemy. Like men. They could have gone with the girls have genetic conditions that they don't want to pass on. Why? If they have powers and it's a genetic condition, why wouldn't you want more of them?
No kidding.
Four, they could have gone with because sex involves at least one part of the body where pee or poo comes out, they just can't get past the aesthetics, so that's why they don't have to have sex.
WTF, mate.
Number five, they could have gone with the world is cruel and they want to spare people the agony of going through it. Know what? If not wanting to have sex for all five of the reasons above makes me a loser, then I don't want to be whatever the opposite is. This being the internet, a sort of international Amsterdam, I'll be called a loser anyway, and if you want to do so, then take a ticket and join the city long queue. Anyway, they could have gone with any and all of the five reasons, but they went with supernatural powers. This is why less than one-tenth of anime interests me. Ghosts, vampires, and so on aren't stuff I can relate to, and in anime premises, they're omnipresent. Shigo Fumi or Death Note, no problem. They are grounded in Shinto, and while not a Shinto myself, obviously, I know how religion works. Anyways, not a comment on the Sage's reviewing ability here, but like Wicked City, this is one of those things where it's just so awful that not even a talented reviewer ripping it to shreds can be amusing. The work in question is just so awful that it overshadows anything it touches. It's like this guy took like a huge left turn during his comment and then just brought it right back to lit sanity at the very end. I like this guy.
Yeah, he just kind of started at sane and then went full circle. And it's like, okay, so somewhere at like 6 o'clock, at 6 o'clock low, this shit just got crazy. And then we got right back to 12 o'clock high. And all right. Honestly, let's just break it down. I made Bennett review Virgin Fleet. That's the truth of it. We said this in a previous episode. We're just going to repeat it now. I made him review Virgin Fleet because I didn't think it would make him that miserable, but I knew that it was going to be a good episode. Now, that said, I didn't think it was going to be the most hate-spewing episode to date, where it is quickly becoming his final fantasy. But and the worst part is that the year's not even over yet, and it's just gonna get worse from here.
It's gonna get somewhat worse.
But yeah, like I can't really agree or disagree with anything that's in this particular comment. I can just kind of read it in awe and just be like, someone dedicated this much time to breaking down why it is that the Virgin Fleet review doesn't quite work right. And admittedly, there are parts of it where even I'm like, you know, maybe this was a bad idea. But then then something else happens and I'm like, no, this was funny. It's good to see Crispin Freeman not in an amazing show. Once upon a time, Crispin Freeman was in New York.
And once upon a time, Crispin Freeman was in a lot of crap. Because the guy got around, even back then.
Yeah. So, that said, it's just kind of nice to see this sort of, like, it's the show that if you were to walk up to him and ask him to sign it, he'd probably just be like, oh my god, you're doing this as some sort of goof, aren't you? Is there a hidden camera somewhere?
How positively gauche.
Because I remember that someone had brought up Assemble Insert, which he had translated once upon a time, and he did not look thrilled that someone managed to dig that out of the dust. So, yeah. That being said, I mean, Virgin Fleet was fun, but more fun's coming. Again, the comments of like the shit that you guys suggest is some of it actually is hitting the schedule for this year. And what doesn't hit the schedule this year may make it to the schedule next year. You never know. The one thing.
One question, one comment about the Virgin thing. My problem with the premise, and a lot of premises like this, isn't so much the idea that, you know, virgins have a special power, but the problem is that, you know, becoming not a virgin loses all power. It's like, what, there's not some other kind of power you can gain? There's not more power in the universe besides virgins? You know, it doesn't work because there's nothing else there. It makes it kind of more obvious and a lot more of a blatant, you know, sort of, you know, celibacy story.
Oh yeah, it's supposed to be, you know, absolute purity begets absolute power.
Which is lame. I mean, purity is fine, and there could be a special kind of power linked to that, that's fine. You know, especially like if it's like a demon fighting power. Okay, we can go with that. But when it's absolute power, fuck you. That's lame.
And it was one-sided. The absolute power of MacGuffin. Virginity and Virgin Fleet gives you the absolute power of MacGuffin. This amorphous power that produces wings and spinning propellers for you, and apparently ammunition.
And teaches you how to fly and pilots a speedboat and
it was just the amorphous and absolute power of MacGuffin by way of not fucking. The only other thing that I want to remark on in the episode is our good friend Lachlan Huddy makes a cameo at the end of the episode, and he filmed that all on his lonesome. I gave him a storyboard, and he went off to the races and produced something far better than how the storyboard looked, because the storyboard seriously looked like I just shat it out. But we were under a time constraint, and so was he. What does Lachlan showing up at the end of the episode mean? Keep watching. You'll find out.
And on that note, I like to call it a night. I'd like to thank you, David, for joining us on this ad hoc episode of Super Tool Shed.
Sorry for rambling so much, guys.
Don't worry. That's what Mark does when you're not here.
Oh, fair enough.
So, good night and good luck.
You fucking Cronkite?
Yep. I Cronkited.